Yo, what is up? What is up? What is up? Welcome back to Avery Sports Show. We are here on a fun afternoon. I'm Avery Lewis McDougal back in the studio, and I am talking to
One third.
of one of the funniest hockey shows out there
What chaos?
on Allsea Network. They've been to All-Star Weekend. They were at the Super Bowl Media Day. I got a chance to meet these guys at each All-Star game. I got the chance to meet Sean DePass, DJ Bean, and Pete Blackburn, wonderful guys. And here on the show today.
DJ Bean, welcome to the show, buddy. How you doing today?
I am extremely grateful to be here. I agree with how you ordered the members of the show. When I tell the fellas tomorrow, Sean will be very happy to hear that he was listed first. He should be. He is our fearless leader. And that's not true. He may be our leader. Where we all have a good amount of fear. Sean's the best, though.
Anyway, you guys are all important in your own ways. You guys do amazing things with What Chaos. And what I mentioned in the intro of meeting you guys, when I saw you guys at the media day, I say immediately, I gotta go say hi. Because your show since episode one has been hilarious, having on NHL players from around the league, having on Jean Principe being enamored with Edmonton Oilers broadcast. Is locally DJ, like there are people here in Edmonton who or the broadcast, there's people who like it and there's some people who don't like it, but it's funny because Gene's a wonderful person and seeing you guys every single game, love what happens on that set, be it stuff that Jack Michael says, Gene, Bob Stauffer. It is funny seeing from a guy, from the eyes of someone who isn't in this market, DJ.
We embrace it so much. We text each other during the games. You see what Gene, we will text each other, did you see Gene, more often than we will say, did you see McDavid? They put on, everybody that does that show is great. And you mentioned that, some people like it, some people won't like it. I don't believe in something, and I don't want something that everybody likes. And if everybody says they like something, I hope some people are lying, because anything worth its salt should at least challenge the senses and the brain in some way, shape, or form. If everybody liked What Chaos, I mean, I would like if everybody liked it, but if 100% of the people who checked it out were like, yeah, I like it, we'd be doing something wrong. Because it has to have its own space and its own lane, and it needs to. I can't do something if there isn't at least a little bit of creativity in it. And that's why I love Gene so much, because yeah, I'm sure him dressing up as a pizza guy and doing whatever he's doing with baseball bats and shovels is not going to be for somebody who wants to hear a breakdown of whether the boys in the blue have what it takes. I personally, I don't want that. I want what Gene's doing. So I love that that exists. And I would say that I'm sure Gene doesn't fear or worry about the fact that some people might not love it, because it is excellent for what it is.
No, it really is. And DJ, of course. I want to ask, so I do have to ask, how did What Chaos come about? I know you guys have been in media for quite some time. I follow both you and Pete for a while, see what you guys have done in the States. But how did this show come together? Because it is one of the more refreshing hockey shows to air on a platform in quite some time.
I'm going to give Pete credit for both the idea to do the show, I don't know when it would have been, and the name, which is inspired by Doc Emrick. But we both, so I've known Pete digitally since he was in college, and we've been doing a podcast together. We've been podcasting together since he was out of college and a young whippersnapper. And since then, we both had various jobs in media. And we've kind of taken turns experiencing the ups and downs of, like, hey, this job's going great. Oh, there's a leadership change. This job isn't going as well. I don't know if I'm gonna have this job in a minute. Just like we'd both done that a couple of times. And I was personally, I'll just say, and I don't think any of my bosses would be offended by this or whatever, but I was in a position where at my company, my star had kind of fallen, where the current group didn't have as much use for me, which is very fair. than the previous group did. And I was kind of in the like, how long will I be here? Should I want to be here? Are they going to want to get rid of me kind of thing? And I think Pete and I had just seen enough cases where the coolest things that are done by people who take control of it themselves. So where I was wondering if there was like a sort of finish line coming up in one job, I didn't feel so hot about like jumping into another full-time thing that might yield a similar experience where, hey, it's going great. Hey, I'm not so sure about it. So the idea in knowing that that at some point would or wouldn't, it's like come for Pete again, because like I said, if you work in media, you're going to experience those ups and downs. And it doesn't mean that the jobs are bad or that the people are bad. It's just that is what it's like working in media. So I think that it was just a time where we were both particularly intrigued by kind of owning whatever we did. So we came up with an idea for essentially a weekly variety show, for lack of a better term, and wrote out and came up with a bunch of like ideas for what would we do on this show. And then we were shopping it around to a couple of different places, and then All City came in and they wanted a daily national hockey show. And they asked Pete, hey, would you be interested in doing a daily national hockey show? And he was like, kind of. I have like a show already. We already have this thing ready to go. So we could maybe change it to make it daily. And so we changed it to make it daily. Sean came in and I like it. I think that what we're doing is so much better and so much more fun. I love going into this studio and this office every day, coming up with what we're going to come up with. There's days where we've got a lot of stuff to work with. There's days where we've got a lot of stuff prepared. And there's days where there were only two games last night. And what the hell are we going to do? So we talk about Kendrick Lamar versus J. Cole, because that happens to interest us at that time. I have so much fun doing it. I hope I speak for the other two guys when I say that. But last week, Pete and I were just sitting around the office and I was like, Pete, this is the, we have the coolest job in the world. If this is a job, this is the coolest one in the world.
No, it's amazing. And we mentioned right there, DJ, how there could be a night where, yeah, because the NHL schedules games, 13 games one night, two games one night. So you guys are going to riff about Humpty Dumpty and why horses were sent in to fix him, which is one of the most absurd children's... First of all, it's a children's...
It was a strange move sending in horses.
And it literally makes not an ounce of sense as to why you would send a horse to repair an injured egg. And I love the fact that, like, on the show, like, that spawns off into your audience for half an hour making egg puns on NHL player names that just continue the rest of the show.
And the thing is, I think that I don't think anyone wants my resume, but I was an NHL beat writer for a long time and have been able to cover and meet some cool people and do all those sorts of things. And I've certainly held the position where, hey, go sit in front of the camera for 10 minutes and have an argument about the teams and break down the, like, for a while I was the only person where I worked being like, hey, can we talk about Corsi? And they were like, oh God, this guy's the worst. But so like I've done that. Pete's done some of that. We can do that if it's needed. But if we get into the Humpty Dumpty thing, our audience, I think, would hate for after a minute us to say, you know what? But this is a hockey show. Let's not talk about Humpty Dumpty. And I've talked about this with Sean. If the conversation's good and if Pete's saying something that is interesting and he's got something and it's not necessarily exactly what we had planned, I would much rather work off that for a little bit than cut him off and say, okay, well, we don't have time to talk about this thing. Like today, like Pete, I think jokingly, didn't understand the difference between the eclipse glasses that block out the sun.
Yes.
And being blind. We had to spend a minute on that. It would have been foolish to say, look, we can't do eclipse talk because we need to do half on the Penguins game and half on the Golden Knights game. And if I had said, hey, Pete, cut it out with that eclipse talk, or if he were to say the same to me, our audience would say, hey, that person's being a bit of a jerk. We were having some fun with the Humpty Dumpty or the Eclipse or the J. Cole or whatever it may be.
Yeah, that's incredible stuff. And one of the coolest things about your show is that even though it's a daily show, even though it's a show with a set time schedule, one thing you guys did over the trade deadline is you guys did a 24-hour live stream, which was fun to watch, fun to contribute my humor into your chat, because I'm a very dry-witted person. You guys saw my heckling of Sean being an NBA 2K brown shirt.
That was one of the, can I tell people this story? So we were, the chat was great. Yes, we did a 24-hour live stream on YouTube, which if you are not subscribed to the What Chaos YouTube, it would be lovely if you could get on that and just subscribe. We've got some fun standalone things, but we do a daily show and we have fun guests and players on, et cetera, et cetera. That's the end of that sales pitch. But on the YouTube, people were commenting and chatting, and the chat is really what kept it alive, because you all just kept making us laugh. And Sean was in front of the camera at one point, and he was wearing, I believe, just sweats, right? Like a sweatshirt and it's sweatpants. And you said he looked like a creative player that was like a 61 on 2K or something.
Because I just saw like I saw the brown shirt. And when a brown shirt in 2K means, it's like, wow, Sean, you're a 65 overall player right now.
Sean, I remember Sean thought, we all thought it was very funny. And I haven't played 2K in 100 years, but even I got that. It was very, very funny.
No, but I applaud the creativity, because most places would not let you guys, do a 24-hour live stream as you guys went delirious at, looked like 3 a.m. Eastern time, playing a Bop It, playing knee hockey. Like, a lot of outlets would think that's a little bit too strange. Where's relevant? How's it going to connect? You guys have done things that a lot of outlets wouldn't want to do.
So that's why I knew this was going to work with All City. Their CEO, the first time we talked to them, said, hey, I let creators create, or I let creators be creative. So whatever, like, you are in charge of this. And I think Pete maybe got a little scared for a second, because if we're both in charge of it, it means that I'm partially in charge of it. And it means that some of my ideas are going to get out there. And it was, but the 24-hour thing went so well for that reason. We knew we were going to get delirious. We knew people were going to want to check out what we were doing when we were tired. And it was so much fun. And there's such a good community of listeners who are funny, who are like-minded to us. We're a big, like, hockey is for everyone podcast. So when we get excited about certain events that teams are doing, mm-hmm. we don't get called names. Where if we're like, hey, check out this cool Pride jersey that was made, or like a Black History Month thing, or whatever it may be. If we're showing that off, we aren't getting comments that are like, talk about hockey. And the one time during the live stream I got mad was John Butchagross said, talk hockey, please. And I was like, yo, you're the guy that talks about chicken parm. You should understand more than anybody.
Right?
Being yourself is a great thing. So, yeah, we don't really have much of the talk hockey kind of thing. And quite frankly, I think that I can tell when Pete or I are maybe spinning our wheels on a topic, when we're deep into a hockey thing and maybe we've just overcommitted to talking about that subject. If you only got 10 minutes on something, or you only got 2 minutes or 3 minutes, don't spin your wheels and keep repeating stuff. Like, trust that there are other people there and that a conversation will move. Like, I'm never afraid of that kind of thing. If Pete comes up with something that is, it's not like we go into the show being like, all right, I want to talk about candy for an hour. But if candy comes up for a minute, yeah, who cares? No one's going to jail.
No, exactly. And I mentioned earlier how you guys had players on from Anthony Duclair, Jeff Skinner. I wasn't meant to see these guys really embrace you, because I'm seeing the questions that you guys ask the players. And there's some hockey talk, but a lot of questions that are off the wall. They're irreverent. And I think players embrace the fact you're not coming in there with a standard, you know, talk about this game against St. Louis, what you did in this game against Anaheim. You're coming in talking about things that these players care about. I think they appreciate the fact that you guys are coming into a locker room or a Zoom call, something a little bit different that you don't get from a normal beat writer on a day in, day out, DJ.
Yeah, it was very early on in the show. We sat down with Seth Jones and Nick Foligno. And afterward, I saw Nick Foligno the next day, And he was like, hey, keep doing that. I don't know. No, the show hadn't been debuted yet or hadn't been announced yet or anything. But yeah, Nick Foligno was like, hey, because I'd also shown him some of the stuff that we did with Brad Marchand.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, do that. Like what you're doing is do that. And I don't know if that was like a, hey, some people are probably going to see this and not like it. Don't listen to them. But it was just I like what you're doing, or like I tolerated doing that. So if I'll take that any day of the week.
Is there one player you guys want to get above all? It's like, we got to find a way. Come hell or high water, get this player on the show some way, somehow. Is there one player in your mind, DJ, that's in that category, do you think?
Well, as I mentioned, we did Foligno with Seth Jones. We've done a couple of two players together. I loved Linus Olmark and Jeremy Swayman together. They were a blast. I think the pinnacle would have to be, I'm not pandering here, it would have to be McDavid and Draisaitl together. And I mean, we've tried, but that would be the best. Just like if Leon Draisaitl knew going in, hey, we come in peace. I've seen him be funny. I've seen him smirk, that handsome man. If there was just like, hey, we'll be forever grateful. Give us 20 minutes of your time. And we'd have to probably show them some Marchand clips and everything to be like, hey, he can do it. You guys can do it. Let's sit down and have a conversation. Because a lot of it, we do goof around.
Yes.
And we'll joke around. But I still, like, I genuinely, one of my favorite things to do is interview people and find out information that I didn't know before. I don't like to ask things that can be looked up on Wikipedia. So there would legitimately be, like, we would come very prepared and probably pick at a thing or two that maybe we didn't know before and we're interested to know. So I think that it would be, hopefully, which I aim for all these interviews to be, a combination of funny things that can be posted on social media and also coming away from it being like, so that's why that happened. Or like, so Jeremy Swayman doesn't have his own Spotify. He's on his mom's. Good to know. Little things like that.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think if you guys were to approach Connor Leon in that aspect, I think they would appreciate him more. And, you know, hey, in a couple of weeks, you know, playoffs are starting. I think there should be a trip. I've talked to you guys before about it. You, Pete, and Sean got to find your way to Edmonton, Alberta this postseason, some way, somehow, because you guys, I think, got to be here for game one of Edmonton, LA, Edmonton, Vegas, or Edmonton, Nashville, for all we know.
Brother, if they made a run, I would so need to be there. And I don't know if we can swing financially what it would take to get tickets to an Oilers playoff game. And I know that I couldn't control myself in a press box. I couldn't do it. I would scream too much. We were at the game in which the Golden Knights snapped the Oilers 16 game win streak.
Yes.
And we were right in the corner, like maybe 6-7 rows back, and saw the McDavid and Draisaitl 2-on-0 coming down the ice. Like back and forth, and like Sean and I were like holding each other, bracing for it. We were like, oh my god, Connor McDavid's gonna score right in front of us. Ah! And we were like at in Vegas, which was packed and had a lot of Vegas fans near us. The Golden Knights had accommodated us, but we were just screaming. We were like, oh my god, it would be incredible to get to Edmonton for a game. I've never been to Edmonton, even when covering the Bruins. Never traveled out there, so I would love it.
No, you're gonna have to come out. And you know, you mentioned that Edmonton Vegas game, and Edmonton Vegas being a battle that has turned to a true rivalry back and forth. And you mentioned the Golden Knights. Like, I've been to a game. I went to a game before COVID in Vegas. The atmosphere of T-Mobile Arena, DJ, as we both know, to me personally, outside of Edmonton, that is the best arena in the league to watch a game. Oh my gosh, just seeing the crowd there embrace the Golden Knights from day one. It's amazing, DJ. It's fun. I love it.
I love it so much, too. I was like, man, if I ever had to live, not to had to live, but like if for whatever reason, I don't think I'm going to live in Vegas anytime soon. But if I lived in Vegas, I would have to be a night season ticket holder. The experience is incredible from the pregame to the PA is different. The PA has a little bit of an NBA feel, which I like. And I don't know, maybe I don't want, I just like when you're at a hockey game and you see or hear something and you say like, huh, this is different from this other market. It doesn't take a lot to be different in hockey. At the end of this game, Golden Knights are holding on to a 1-0 lead against the Oilers. And it's, again, it's to break this big skid, or this big win streak for Edmonton, their rival. And there's a stoppage of play with like 50 seconds left. And the PA is like, come on, 50 seconds left, everybody. We're like, let's get this dub. Come on, like, we're going to get this win. Yell, everybody. I was like, this doesn't happen at hockey games. And I love that it is. I love that it is. So things like that. Again, the pregame presentation is worth the price of admission. Lives up to the hype. And then, man, I don't know how you feel. I love so many teams in the Pacific. I obviously heavily champion the Oilers and root for them. But I like the Golden Knights a lot. I couldn't really root for them after they eliminated the Oilers last year. I was in a very foul mood towards them, but I like Bruce Cassidy a lot. We had Aiden Hill on the show. Love Aiden Hill. Great guy. But I hate that there are so many teams in the Pacific that I like. Really, I guess the Kings and no, I mean, I love the Sharks. I love the Ducks. I like the Golden Knights. Everyone but the Canucks, maybe. I don't really. I don't need the Canucks.
Why the Canucks tension? They got a fun team with Demko and Pettersson and Hughes.
They do have a fun team. I guess it's just I can allow myself to do the thing of they're a divisional rival of a team I like, so I can't root for them. But like tonight, there aren't a lot of good hockey games on. I'm probably firing up Kings at Ducks. I like both of those teams. I think the Kings. I don't know, maybe earmuffs listeners. Like, I think the Kings could potentially be a tough out in the postseason if they get their act together. They've got good depth down the middle. They've got good defensemen. I like a lot about that team, but I'm an oil man through and through.
Fair. So, you know, DJ, so, you know, I won't ask you who your cup final pick is, but I will ask you, who do you see as the final four? Who are your picks for the final two in the West and the final two in the East? Who are your final four?
Oh my gosh. So I think West might be easier. I'm annoyed that the Dallas Stars have become chalk because they went from like, don't sleep on this team to like, they're going to win the President's Trophy now. That's not fun. Shoot. It all depends. Like, I'm so scared of Vegas for whoever ends up getting them. And it could be the Oilers. It could be the Canucks. It could be the Stars. So without knowing what seedings are going to be, it's so tough to tell what seedings would be.
True.
I would just say a final four of like best teams in the conferences would be, let's say Dallas, Edmonton, and in the East. The thing is, there aren't that many good teams in the East. I'm going to pull a fast one and say Carolina, Tampa.
Ooh, wow.
I need to throw one dark horse in there, so I'll give you Tampa.
Tampa. And it's funny because, you know, they started the year, Vasilevskiy was hurt in Tampa. People were questioning them, so it's kind of funny to see them as a dark horse because they still have Steven Stamkos, but it's still coached by one of the best coaches in the NHL. In John Cooper. So seeing Tampa the dark horse, I know what you mean, but it sounds funny to say that because they kind of are, but they kind of aren't, DJ.
Buddy, I'm trying to think, are the last two Stanley Cup winners wildcard teams?
Yeah, I've won, sorry. Colorado won that series, yeah.
Two of the last three Cup teams, I believe, are wildcard teams.
Mm-hmm.
And they both have the bones of what got them to the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
So, yeah, would not surprise me if we got a wild card cup team this year. I mean, I could also throw Florida in there, but it's tough to make a deep run 2 years in a row. Although I was just talking about the Lightning, who certainly are no strangers to doing that. Yeah, give me just because my guy Anthony Duclair is there, give me Tampa.
Okay, fair enough. You mentioned Edmonton, Dallas. Now, for those of us who grew up in Alberta, now I'm 31, DJ, so most of my childhood wasn't really about watching Edmonton, Calgary. It was about watching Edmonton, Dallas in the playoffs. So there was a generation of kids who don't see Calgary as a rival. Their rival is Dallas. So if you got a revival of the Stars and the Oilers in a playoff series in 2024, oh my gosh. Oh my amazing. Gosh, that'd be fun.
Was Bill Guerin happening back then? Is that
yes, Bill Guerin on both sides, on both Edmonton Dallas side. Guerin saw both sides of that.
Wow, I didn't even think about that. I was thinking recently how I very badly want a Louis DeBrusque Oilers jersey, but a Bill Guerin Oilers jersey would be amazing as well.
Yeah, no, that would be really amazing. And yeah, no, I remember as a kid, Dallas beat Edmonton most of those series, but my Mike McDonald told me years ago that Edmonton robbed him of more cups because they would play in the first round and it'd be so banged up. Even though Dallas would win in five, it'll be a physical, hard-hitting series for all five games, getting just beaten down by guys like Bill Guerin, Doug Weight, Ryan Smith, and trying to beat Tommy Salo for them was tough, even though they won in five games.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think, like, who's that team now where if, say, Dallas and Vegas get each other in the first round, that's going to be a slog.
Oh, gosh.
Whoever gets out of it is going to be probably limping to the next round, and then maybe whoever, I don't know, Colorado ends up being, although I would say Colorado could make a, man, the West is so good.
It is so good. It really is. And before I let you go here, DJ, of course, we're seeing the Arizona stuff, the idea of going to Utah. Now, you're a partner in crime. Pete suggested for Utah's, if they get a team, suggested the Utah Soakers. Do you also agree that should be their team name if they do get a team next year? Should that be the franchise name next season?
I think it's bad behavior. I can't remember what my suggestion was for Utah. I will just say I'd be very upset if the Coyotes moved. I want them to stay. I don't want them to move and then come back as an expansion team. I'd like them to stay with the confidence of knowing that they're going to be there for a while and really have them build something. Because look at how many good NHL players are coming from Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, like it deserves to be rewarded. And they've got such, I know that I didn't know this before, I'll be honest, but I know it now because All City has deep roots in Phoenix. Uh-huh. They've got such a passionate fan base and they don't deserve to have this yanked away from them. So my hope, although I'm my priority is Pete over everything. So if Pete wants them to move and get the Soakers, then I will stand behind my guy. But I really would like for the nice people of Arizona to keep their team.
Yeah, no, I agree with that as well. I have a lot of friends who are from Arizona who go to Cardi's games. And I know people like to make those jokes. There's no fans in Arizona. I think it's kind of dumb. We've seen before hockey grow over the past 30 years. We've seen junior hockey programs there for boys and girls expand. I mean, they sell games there. There have been sold all year long. There's a passion market in Arizona. So the idea that there's no fan base down there that they should move because no one goes, I think it's ridiculous, DJ.
Yeah, I don't want it. And I would like to see, I would just like to see them have some more success, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that right now they're building something. We'll see what Cooley can become. We love Sean Durzi. He's been on the show. I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, as you should. And last one for you. Super Bowl weekend. You guys go down there. You break the internet on Media Day. First of all, logos spoofing Sportsnet. I laughed very hard at that on your mic, flashing with the parody logo. Just how did it come together getting into Media Day? And just basically baffling NFL players with your NHL questions all night long.
Heavily inspired by Gene. So Gene gets full credit. The look of it, for folks who don't know, we spoke to football players the way that hockey reporters speak. And I wasn't making fun of anybody because that's how I spoke for a very long time. You go in and you say, hi, coach. And you ask about the teams. You ask about the final. You don't ask about the championship. You don't ask about the super. You ask, it's the final. So we just used that terminology with a lot of what we were doing. And we dressed in suits and we had a little, gritty lapels and some NHL lanyards, gave Travis Kelce a Vegas Golden Knights friendship bracelet, did a bunch of silly things like that. But it came about because when we were talking to All City, one of their top people said it's a shame that there isn't a Super Bowl like event for hockey where everybody's there, including celebrities, where you could just go and make content. And I was like, oh, I used to go to the Super Bowl every year for work. I know what that week is. Let's just go to the, just send us to the Super Bowl. And it doesn't matter if hockey's not going on. Trust me, it'll be a gold mine. And like an hour later, I was like, yeah, like let's just go to the Super Bowl and make it hockey. And there's a long history of funny little sideshows occurring at the media night. People asking funny questions. A favorite one that heavily inspired this was the great Dave Damashek, who was on the show this yesterday, Monday, asking teams and players if the Super Bowl was a must-win game. Stuff like that is so funny. So at least to me and Pete. So we did it. It came out great. Everybody that we talked to was so funny, whether they meant to be or not. I'm a big, like, we're not going to make fun of anybody sort of thing. We dick around with our guests, but I don't want it to ever come off as we're making fun of somebody or hurting anybody's feelings. So it was good that we were able to make a joke of just the whole event rather than make it seem like we were trying to dog anybody, because we weren't.
No, of course you weren't. And I thought it was amazing content. It went viral. People from around the sports world thought it was one of the funnier segments, no matter if it was a hockey-based thing. I thought that was brilliant to see DJ. And Travis Kelce played long being a hockey guy. He enjoyed it. So I love the fact that he enjoyed that to an extent.
Yeah. He say what you want about, I don't know, the Chiefs, Taylor Swift, whatever takes you may have. Travis Kelce seems like a very sweet man. So I was glad that he played along as well.
No, exactly. And DJ, it's been a blast having you on the show. What Chaos is such an amazing podcast. All City's killing it. You guys are killing it. And for those who want to tune in, where can they find the show, DJ?
They can find it. You can go to any social media and just search for What Chaos, or you can go to YouTube, type in What Chaos Hockey, whatever it be. You could do that on your podcasting apps as well, and just smash subscribe. Our live shows, our shows are Monday through Thursday, noon to 1 p.m. Eastern. So that would be 9 to 10 Pacific. And the chat is very fun. Whenever we're talking about anything, the chat takes it upon themselves to start making NHL names based off of that. So if we were talking about the earthquake, people were saying Shake DeCrust for Jake DeBrusque. And it's very, very funny and a great community. And we would love for you to at least experiment with it, if not join it altogether.
No, exactly. DJ, thank you for coming on Avery Sports Show. Doug, guide you again sometime. And definitely, if you guys find your way to Edmonton, Alberta for a playoff game, let me know, because we got to do something in Alberta if you guys make it here for the playoffs.
Oh, it would be my pleasure. And thank you so much, Avery, for having me on. My heart sank when you asked me to join, because you know I probably talk more Oilers on a national show than I should. Our show is basically entirely Oilers. Today Pete called me out on turning everything we talk about into an Oilers winning the Pacific, like, clinching scenario, which is probably true, but the Oilers are a fascinating team and I love them so much. So thank you to any non-Oilers fans who will bear with us.
Of course. Thanks, EJ.